This podcast is brought to you by SMC. MoneyWise, be wise.
You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Good evening and welcome to Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. My name is Sheetal. Let's get you started with the top business headlines from India first.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
ITC Limited is considering a bid to buy a stake in Coffee Day Enterprises as part of its effort to diversify its businesses. ITC has been given access to Coffee Day's assets and financials for due diligence, according to sources, who asked not to be identified as the discussions are private. ITC could be vying with Coca-Cola Company, which has evaluated India's biggest cafe chain, but hasn't made a formal offer yet, according to these sources. While you enjoy your cup of tea or coffee with Parle G, here's some disturbing news on that front. Parle Products Private Limited could lay off up to 10,000 workers. Slowing economic growth and falling demand in the rural heartland could result in production being scaled back, which in turn could result in layoffs as factories work at less than optimal capacity. According to Mayank Shah, category head at Parle, and we quote him, "The situation is so bad that if the government doesn't intervene immediately, we may be forced to eliminate these positions," unquote. Now, Parle employs about 100,000 people, including direct and contract workers. Shah said that the demand for popular Parle biscuit brands such as Parle G has been worsening since the advent of GST in 2017, which imposed a higher levy on biscuits costing as low as 5 rupees. The higher taxes have forced Parle to offer fewer biscuits in each pack, hitting demand from lower-income consumers in rural India, which contributes more than half of Parle's revenue. Shah said, and we quote him, "Consumers here are extremely price-sensitive. They're extremely conscious of how many biscuits they're getting for a particular price," unquote. Varun Berry, Managing Director of Britannia Industries, had earlier said this month that consumers were, and we quote, "thinking twice," unquote, about buying products worth just 5 rupees. He said, "Obviously, there is some serious issue in the economy." Market research firm Nielsen said last month that India's consumer goods industry was losing steam as spending in the rural heartland cools and small manufacturers lose competitive advantages in a slowing economy. A deal could be in the offing between Tata Sons and Walmart to form a partnership in an attempt to consolidate their strengths in the consumer retail space in a scenario where others like Reliance are also looking to strengthen themselves through tie-ups. Consumer retail is one of the growth engines of the Tata Group, with their multiple brands that include Tata Consumer Products, Titan, Croma, Tata Click, Voltas, Westside, Star Bazaar and Tata Smart Foods. Walmart, which entered India through a wholesale joint venture with Bharti Enterprises in 2007 and subsequently bought out its Indian partner in 2013, last year acquired a 77% stake in Flipkart for $16 billion. The way forward for players is to have a hybrid online-to-offline format. A deal with Tata will also help Walmart catch up with Amazon, which has built an offline presence through acquisitions. It has stakes in grocery chain More and department store Shopper Stop and is in talks for a 10% stake in future retail. The Department of Telecom has asked the Registrar of Companies in Delhi and Mumbai to, we quote, "withhold any further action," unquote, with regard to the merger between Bharti Airtel and Tata Tele, since the department has, and we quote again, "not given written approval yet," unquote, to the transaction. This could delay the finalization of this high-profile deal. The ministry will challenge the deal in the Supreme Court on various grounds, including the process through which the companies announced the merger, based only on an order of the Telecom Disputes Settlement Appellate Tribunal, according to sources. A Bharti Airtel spokesperson said that both companies had followed due process, going ahead with the merger following the TDSAT's order, directing the Department of Telecommunications to approve the merger. As part of the merger, Airtel had absorbed Tata Teleservices' consumer mobile business operations in 19 telecom circles, 17 under TTSL and 2 under Tata Teleservices, Maharashtra. It also agreed to take over a small portion of the unpaid spectrum liability of Tata Teleservices. The merger will bolster Airtel's radio waves pool with additional 178.5 MHz spectrum in 1800, 2100 and 850 MHz bands widely used for 4G. In other Indian news, well, let's give you an update on the Chidambaram situation, which seems to be getting murkier. Former Union Minister P. Chidambaram has not got any legal reprieve yet, with the Supreme Court refusing an urgent hearing on his request for anticipatory bail. The court will hear the petition on Friday. Now, the Enforcement Directorate has put out a lookout circular for Mr. Chidambaram, who has not been seen since the High Court denied him protection from arrest on Tuesday, after which the CBI visited his home in Delhi twice. The CBI told the court that this was a money laundering case of monumental magnitude while arguing against protection from arrest for Chidambaram. Lawyer and Congress leader Kapil Sibal told a three-judge bench that Chidambaram was ready to guarantee that he would not run away, but the hearing was not listed over what happened to be a technicality. The Enforcement Directorate is hopeful of getting Chidambaram's custody to question him on the source of the money with which his son Karthi purchased a tennis club in Spain, cottages in the UK, and several other properties in India and abroad worth over 54 crore rupees. All these properties were purchased allegedly using proceeds of money generated through bribes received by Karthi in the INX Media case, according to the attachment order passed by the ED in October 2018. The centre has started building a diversion to stop water flowing into Pakistan without breaking the Indus Waters Treaty, Jal Shakti Minister Gajendra Singh Shekhawat has stated. The minister said that excess water was going to Pakistan and this would be diverted to some of the reservoirs and rivers such as Ravi, which are outside the catchment areas. He said that the water would be diverted during the monsoon and the stored water could then be used in the lean season. Shekhawat's remark come more than a fortnight after the centre moved to scrap the special status granted to Jammu and Kashmir and bifurcated the state into two union territories. Discontent among aspirants hit the BJP and sparked a rebellion of sorts soon after Chief Minister B.S. Yediyurappa inducted 17 members into his cabinet yesterday. While some disgruntled MLAs and their supporters openly protested, others, including senior party men, simply went incommunicado. All were conspicuous by their absence at the swearing-in ceremony on Tuesday, even as their supporters launched protests in their respective constituencies. The disgruntled legislators are reportedly planning to meet and decide on a course of action. There is also resentment among BJP MLAs as they feel some regions of the state are underrepresented or ignored. For instance, Belgavi has 10 BJP MLAs but got only 2 ministerial berths. The Hyderabad Karnataka region, comprising 6 districts, has got just 1 ministerial berth, while no MLA was considered from the 3 coastal districts. A terrorist identified as Momin Gojri, who was affiliated with the LET, was killed in Jammu and Kashmir's Baramulla during an encounter between security forces and terrorists. This was the first such encounter with terrorists since Article 370 was revoked. One police officer was killed and an inspector was injured. The encounter, which had begun on Tuesday evening, had continued into the night. The encounter ended early in the morning, around 5:30 a.m. today. Last week, 2 women were arrested from West Delhi's Vikaspuri after a fake call center was busted by the cyber cell. Investigation has revealed that they were procuring databases of customers from employees of call centers, paying 5 to 50 paise per contact. The 2 women have been charged with duping more than 350 people on the pretext of providing health insurance at low premium. They had created fake websites through which they sold healthcare services. Online food delivery and dine-in aggregators, including Zomato, have agreed to tone down and rationalize offers they make to their members, including deep discounts, following a series of meetings held over the last few days. According to National Restaurant Association of India President Rahul Singh, the deep discounts are funded by the restaurants, but they do not get any share of the proceeds that aggregators generate from guests as subscription fees. Over 1,800 NRAI member restaurants opted out of dine-in services of these aggregators over the past 6 days. The campaign was led by NRAI, which has close to 500,000 members. Zomato has said that it would consider rejigging its gold membership program that allows customers to get a dish or 2 drinks free at participating restaurants. Zomato Infinity, an eat as much as you can offer, might be put on hold. Zomato also has agreed to roll back fines proposed to be levied on restaurants for delaying acceptance of orders and missing delivery deadlines. Banks may soon seek your consent before allowing a transfer of funds to your account. The Union Government has written to the Reserve Bank of India seeking its on a mechanism to enable willing bank customers to have control over deposits of money in their accounts. The move is a follow-up to instances of illicit deposits after demonetization in bank accounts opened under the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana, where account holders had said that they did not know anything about money transferred into their accounts. Under the proposed mechanism, the Finance Ministry has said that banks will notify customers when someone tries to deposit money in their accounts. And that's a roundup of the key headlines from India. Next on EPOD, we go international. International business first. President Donald Trump has said that he's considering measures to bolster the economy, including a possible reduction in capital gains taxes, even as he played down warning signs of a possible slowdown. Trump also stepped up his assault on the Federal Reserve, urging it to cut interest rates by a full percentage point to aid global growth, while complaining that, and we quote, dollar is so strong that it's sadly hurting other parts of the world, unquote. The Fed had cut rates last month for the first time in a decade and signaled that it was open to doing more amid slowing global growth and uncertainty over Trump's trade war with China. Financial markets have faced pressures and sent Treasury yields towards record lows, flashing recession risk warnings as investors to increase bets the U.S. central bank will ease policy again. China's biggest e-commerce company Alibaba has delayed its $15 billion listing in Hong Kong amid growing political unrest in the Asian financial hub, according to Reuters. Alibaba's Hong Kong listing plans are being closely watched by the financial community for indications on the business environment in the Chinese-controlled territory and provides a window into Beijing's reading of the situation. While no timetable has been formally set, Alibaba could potentially launch the deal as early as October, still seeking to raise $10 billion to $15 billion, depending on whether political tensions had eased and market conditions become more favorable. In other international news, Italy's Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte resigned on Tuesday, averting a no-confidence vote tabled by the far-right League Party's leader, Matteo Salvini. Earlier this month, Salvini had pushed for new elections, saying that the government coalition between the hardline anti-immigrant League Party and the anti-establishment Five Star Movement no longer holds a majority in the parliament. Conte, a law professor with no previous political experience, became prime minister in June 2018 after the League and Five Star Movement reached a coalition agreement. The coalition fell apart this month over disagreement on key policies. Those disputes reached a fever pitch this week with bitter political standoff over a migrant ship that has been stranded off Italy for 19 days. Now, this turmoil comes at a difficult time as Italy's parliament must approve and present its draft budget to the European Union leaders in Brussels by mid-October. Politicians are also working to finalize reforms proposed by the Five Star Movement, which would slash the country's parliament by more than 300 seats. The senior most Catholic cleric in the world to be convicted of child sexual abuse, Cardinal George Pell, has lost his appeal against his conviction. In a statement issued after the decision, the Vatican reiterated that Pell maintained his innocence and that it was now, we quote, Pell's right to appeal to the High Court, unquote. They also added, and we quote again, at this time, together with the Church in Australia, the Holy See confirms its closeness to the victims of sexual abuse and its commitment to pursue, through the competent ecclesiastical authorities, those members who commit such abuse, unquote. There was no mention made of stripping Pell of his cardinal title. On Wednesday, the Victorian Court of Appeal in Melbourne, Australia, dismissed Pell's appeal, with two of the three appellant judges describing the complainant as a compelling, truthful witness. Pell was returned to jail, where he will continue to serve a six-year sentence for sexually abusing two 13-year-old choir boys in 1996, while he was Archbishop of Melbourne. Japan's government is set to announce North Korea's capability of miniaturizing nuclear warheads, according to a report in the newspaper Yomiuri Shimbun. The newspaper said that this information is part of a forthcoming defense report. Japan will upgrade its estimate of the regime's nuclear capability, having said last year only that the technical feat was a possibility. The defense report will maintain Japan's contention that North Korea's nuclear and ballistic missile programs pose, and we quote, a serious and imminent threat, unquote, to its security, after recent meetings between Donald Trump and the North's leader, Kim Jong-un, failed to make progress on denuclearization. North Korea has conducted six rounds of short-range missile launches in recent weeks in an apparent attempt to pressure Washington into making concessions in any future talks over Pyongyang's nuclear weapons program. And those were then the top international headlines. Let's move on to take a look at what happened in the world of tech. Let's begin news from the world of tech with this one, Apple Card, a new kind of credit card created by Apple and designed to help customers lead a healthier financial life, is available in the US starting today. Customers can apply for Apple Card through the Wallet app on iPhone in just minutes and start using it right away with Apple Pay in stores, in apps, and on websites. Apple Card encourages customers to pay less interest and offers an easy-to-understand view of spending. Apple Card's rewards program, Daily Cash, gives back 2-3% of every purchase, depending on the mode of purchase, as cash on customers' Apple Cash Card each day. There are absolutely no fees associated with the Apple Card, no annual, late, international or over-the-limit fees. To help customers make informed choices, Apple Card shows a range of payment options and calculates the interest cost on different payment amounts in real time. The unique security and privacy architecture created for Apple Card means that Apple does not know where a customer shopped, what they bought, or how much they paid. Facebook has announced the introduction of a new tool that lets users better control the information that Facebook has gathered about their browsing habits outside the social network. The tool, Off Facebook Activity, allows users to view the hundreds of sites and apps that share data and customer information with Facebook. They can disconnect the data from their account if they want. The tool is Facebook's latest response to criticism over how it safeguards users' privacy. Last year, Facebook had come under fire after it revealed how consulting firm Cambridge Analytica had harvested the personal information of more than 50 million Facebook users without their permission. Last month, the company settled with the Federal Trade Commission over privacy violations, agreeing to pay a $5 billion fine and to change how it handled users' data. Even with the new tool, Facebook will continue to retain all browsing data of users on Facebook, Instagram, and Messenger. Off Facebook Activity can be found in the settings menu of the Facebook app and offers an itemized history of the outside apps and websites that have shared data with the social network. On to offbeat news that we've come across for the day. In the state of Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil, 400 million dead bees were found, with beekeepers in four states reporting the mass deaths. Researchers have blamed the use of pesticides. Bees have a really important role in the food chain, with around one-third of the food that we eat relying on pollination, mainly by bees. These include fruits and vegetables such as avocados, broccoli, and cherries. The main cause of death for these bees has been the use of pesticides containing products that are banned in Europe, such as neonicotinoids and fipronil. The EU imposed an almost total ban on neonicotinoids last April because of the serious harm it could cause bees. And finally, a look at what happened in the local equity markets today. On the back of continued absence of any stimulus package for the economy, coupled with fresh trade war concerns between the US and China, the sentiment in the markets remained depressed throughout the trading session. After losing 305 and 110 points respectively, the BSE Sensex closed 268 points lower at 37,060, and the Nifty 50 closed 98 points down at 10,919. Hero Motor Corp, Maruti Suzuki, Infosys and Tech Mahindra were the top gainers, while Tata Motors, Yes Bank, Tata Steel and ONGC topped the losers list on Sensex. All the sectors ended in the red, and in the broader market, the S&P BSE Midcap ended 177 points or 1.32% lower at 13,259. The small cap, on the other hand, shared 180 points, that's 1.43% lower, to end at 12,390. CG Power and Industrial Solutions were locked in a 20% lower circuit for the second consecutive day at 11.80 rupees on the Bombay Stock Exchange today after the detection of financial fraud in the company. Then shares of Britannia Industries plunged nearly 4% to hit a 52-week low of 2,302 rupees on the Bombay Stock Exchange as worries over demand slump worsened. Parley Products, which announced that it would lay off 10,000 people, saw it lose 0.46% to close the day at 2,384. And that's it from us on Editor's Pick of the Day on Money Control. Have a nice evening.
This has been today's Editor's Pick. And you've been listening to Money Control.